Delta announces an almost unbelievable first quarter loss. Boeing, however, is doing great. And DOT says airline fares ended last year on an upbeat note. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, April 24th, 2008. Yesterday, we used the term staggering to describe the $500 million first quarter loss reported by United Airlines parent UAL. Today, we're looking for an adjective to describe a loss 12 times that size, and there just doesn't seem to be a good word. On Wednesday, Delta Airlines announced a first quarter loss of $6.4 billion with a B. You heard that right, and that's just for the first 3 months of 2008. Delta blamed high fuel prices, a slumping U.S. economy, and to be fair, most of that loss was a one-time non-cash charge of $6.1 billion related to last year's emergence from bankruptcy. But still, the airline lost $274 million through normal operations, up from $130 million lost in last year's first quarter. So far this year, the only airline to report a profit in the first quarter is fuel-hedged, low-cost carrier Southwest Airlines. The horrendous financials from most carriers are increasing shareholder pressure for the remaining standalone legacy airlines to merge. A Delta-Northwest merger is seen as likely. Even as most of its domestic airline customers continue to bleed red ink, on Wednesday, Boeing reported a 43% year-to-year increase in first quarter earnings for 2008. Net income was up 38% to $1.2 billion, and operating margin rose to 11.3%. CEO Jim McNerney says he expects a good year. Quote, "We are methodically working through our challenges, including the startup of the 787, and our people remain focused on satisfying our customers and leveraging growth and productivity into better bottom line and top line performance for our company." Unquote. On the airline side, Boeing Commercial Airplanes' first quarter revenues rose to $8.2 billion. Operating earnings grew 39% to $983 million, while margins reached 12%. During the quarter, the company delivered its 1,400th 747 and its 700th 777. The company expects to deliver between 475 and 480 aircraft during 2008 and as many as 505 in 2009. And despite its developmental problems, the 787 Dreamliner brought in another 75 orders in the first quarter, bringing total firm orders for the airplane to 892. If higher fares are what's needed to allow domestic airlines to return to profitability, they made a good start in the fourth quarter of 2007. The Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics says average airfares in the quarter rose 4% from a year earlier. That puts them just 2.7% now below the pre-9/11 fourth quarter high set in 2000. Of the top 100 airports based on originating passengers, the highest fourth quarter average fares were in Anchorage, Alaska, followed by Cincinnati, San Francisco, Madison, and Knoxville. The lowest fares in the top 100 airports were at four Hawaii airports, followed by Dallas Love Field, which is the home to Southwest Airlines. The internet has been a boon to freedom of speech, but it's also led to a phenomenon in which corporate secrets are freely leaked by anonymous bloggers, in some cases damaging the companies for which they work. If you work for Eclipse Aviation, signed a non-disclosure agreement, and have been blabbing the company's inside business to the world, your party may be almost over. A subpoena filed last week by the Superior Court of California in Santa Clara County orders Google to provide information about 29 anonymous posters to the Eclipse Aviation Critic NG blog. Eclipse wants to find out if some or all of those posters are current or former employees or others bound by non-disclosure agreements with the company. Speaking to the Albuquerque Journal, Eclipse CEO Vern Rayburn explained, quote, "We're not trying to suppress dissension or criticism, we're just trying to find out where it's coming from," unquote. Unless a formal objection is filed by May 9th, Google will be required to provide the IP addresses of those anonymous posters named in the subpoena. That information could, in turn, be used to track down the posters' true identities. A word to the wise, if you sign a non-disclosure agreement and decide later that you want to speak out on confidential internal company matters, you won't have any protection under the First Amendment. You also won't have any unemployment benefits. Up next on ANN, the FAA is investigating the crash of a Lancair in Arizona. A well-connected congressman brings home airport grants to his district. And the FAA cuts funding for a master plan in Hilton Head. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 24th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The Wednesday morning crash of a Lancer IVP shortly after takeoff from Falcon Field in Mesa, Arizona, has cost all three people on board their lives. FAA spokesman Ian Greger said the Homebuilt was cleared to return to Falcon Field after controllers saw smoke coming from the plane. Local news reports add the aircraft's pilot reported mechanical problems before the plane came down in an orange grove near the airport. UPI reported the pilot was believed to be heading to John Wayne Airport in Santa Ana, California. Identities had not been released as of early this morning. Congressman James Oberstar announced on Tuesday that five northern Minnesota airports will get grants totaling more than $1 million from the FAA. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reports the money will be used to improve safety and operations at airports in Eveleth, Virginia, Ely, Grand Marais, Staples, and Walker, Minnesota. This is the second announcement this month of grants to airports in Minnesota. An earlier $3 million grant went for improvements to airports in Chisholm-Hibbing, Brainerd, and Bemidji. Coincidentally, Oberstar, a Democrat, chairs the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, which oversees the FAA. On the other hand, the FAA has announced it will not participate in funding a master plan at Hilton Head Island Airport in South Carolina. That airport is owned by Beaufort County, but lies within the town of Hilton Head. The two jurisdictions have fought over airport expansion for years. On March 10th, the town council passed an ordinance prohibiting any expansion of the airport's 4,300-foot runway without council approval. The resulting impasse drew an angry response from the South Carolina Division of Aeronautics at the time. Now, it's also cost the airport FAA funding for its growth plan. The county has hinted it may fund the study locally at a cost of between $250,000 and $350,000. The Hilton Head Island Packet newspaper reports the town council has agreed to the study and could reverse the zoning change given a suitable growth agenda. The FAA has also suggested that if the two governments can end their squabble and agree to move forward with airport improvements, reimbursement for the study later is not out of the question. Professor Stephen Hawking honored the 50th anniversary of NASA by calling for a space exploration program which includes establishing an experimental base on the moon within 30 years. Speaking before an audience at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., the 66-year-old astrophysicist suggested a new era of space conquest along the lines of Christopher Columbus's discovery of the New World. The BBC reported on Hawking's comparison of the current situation to that of Europe before 1492. Quote, "People might well have argued it was a waste of money to send Columbus on a wild goose chase, yet the discovery of the New World made profound difference to the old. Spreading out into space will completely change the future of the human race and maybe determine whether we have any future at all. It will not solve any of our immediate problems on planet Earth, but it will give us a new perspective," unquote. Despite near-complete paralysis caused by amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Hawking is already a veteran of zero-G flight. He hopes to continue leading by example, scheduling passage on the maiden flight of Virgin Galactic's suborbital space tours, set to start operation in about 2 years. On the question of whether we're alone in the universe, Hawking commented, quote, "Primitive life is very common and intelligent life is fairly rare. Some would say it has yet to occur on Earth," unquote. Still ahead, Kolb announces the first flight of its new LSA. NASA awards a launch contract to SpaceX. and a Brazilian priest is missing after an attempt to break a lawn chair flying endurance record. You're listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, April 24th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The new Kolb Aircraft Company proudly told ANN on Wednesday that the first production example of its Kolb Flyer Supersport took flight for the first time on April 3rd. The test program started 6 months ago and should be complete by the first week of July. Kolb says the flight characteristics of the new LSA surpassed its original goals. SLSA certification is scheduled for mid-July, with sales to begin at Oshkosh. The Kolb Flyer Supersport is based on the Pelican Sport 600. While that aircraft had a good reputation and had sold over 700 units, Kolb heard from potential LSA customers at Lakeland and Oshkosh that they wanted improvements in flight characteristics and ergonomics. In 2006, the new Kolb Aircraft Company purchased the assets of Ultravia, which included the intellectual property rights to the Pelican line of aircraft. Flyer Industria Aeronautica LTDA in Brazil was engaged to design a new LSA based on the Pelican. The new design has a 77-pound carbon fiber fuselage, aluminum wing and tail, and wing struts attached to the fuselage behind the doors for more comfortable cabin access. NASA has awarded Space Exploration Technologies, aka SpaceX, a launch services contract for the Falcon 1 and Falcon 9 rockets. The contracts are multiple awards to multiple launch service providers. Terms allow NASA to order launch services as needed through June of 2010. Depending on how many launches NASA needs, the contract could be worth anywhere from $20,000 to $1 billion. NASA needs vehicles which can launch payloads weighing 551 pounds or more into a circular orbit 124 miles above the Earth in support of its science, space operations, and exploration systems directorates. The original request for proposal was issued in 1999. A Brazilian priest and amateur balloonist who was attempting to set a new world record went missing Sunday, and crews say they're continuing their search despite dwindling hope he'll be found alive. CBC News reports the Reverend Adelier Antonio de Carli took off Sunday from the southern city of Paranagua, riding below 1,000 helium-filled party balloons. The attempt is the latest knockoff of the stunt pulled by Larry Walters, a.k.a. Lawn Chair Larry, in 1982. The Reverend intended to break the 19-hour record for human flight using party balloons, but he disappeared 8 hours after taking off and only the chair has been found. De Carli took off wearing a helmet, waterproof clothes, and a thermal flight suit. He was also wearing a parachute and planned to use a GPS to navigate. But Barbara Gancia, a reporter with Brazil's Folha de São Paulo newspaper, said De Carli may not have been as well prepared as earlier thought. Quote, "What we're hearing now is that he did not know how to use his equipment, the GPS, and he was ill-prepared for his flight," unquote. She added that winds forced him out to sea, despite his intent to travel inland. Gancia also talked to De Carli's flight instructor. Quote, "He called him undisciplined and an exhibitionist, and he was always bragging about his faith and how his faith was going to carry him and take him safely through his journey, and that's not what happened," unquote. Finally, about 11 years ago, thousands of Phoenix area residents reported seeing several lights in a V formation hovering over the city. The U.S. Air Force said the so-called Phoenix lights were flares, but many still believe they were of extraterrestrial origin. This past Monday night, it happened again. Mysterious red lights hovered in the sky over the North Valley, appearing in formations which shifted from a line to a square to a triangle. This time, the Air Force had no explanation. Neither did NORAD or air traffic controllers at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. All of them said there were no planes on radar at the time. One witness was Annie Braslos. She told KTVK Television News, quote, "It was really close to the star, and when it would go really close and then go fast far away, it was just unbelievable. I thought it was the coolest thing. It was pretty intense," unquote. The latest appearance of the Phoenix lights has a pretty simple explanation. This time we know it really was flares. You see, an area man who asked not to be identified told KTVK that after the sun went down Monday night, he tied road flares to four big helium balloons using fishing line, then released them at one-minute intervals. So, does this mean the original 1997 Phoenix lights could also have been flares, as the Air Force claimed? Well, the man behind Monday's stunt says, could be, but he doesn't really know because, see, he wasn't involved in that one. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk further with Dan Grider about his vintage DC-3, his plans to perform aerobatics in the plane at future air shows, and the DC-3 type rating available through his flight school in Atlanta. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.